Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that Epps refused to use, no doubt, continues now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the broadcast for October the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2018. Our goal always is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. All right, without further ado, our buddy Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org, back on your radio. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Good morning, Sam.
Quickly, what do you think of the political circus out there? I mean, it's just insanity, sir.
It's a mess, and it's a lot of people fighting dirty for power. And I think the Supreme Court. We've talked about the Janus case. There's unions, and there's a lot of their political allies, and they're looking, thinking that if they can get what they want done, they can make the next justice the vote to overturn Janus, even though it was just decided this June. And I think that's what motivates a lot of what's going on here.
So we have a lot of evidence that the Democrats are involved. We hear that George Soros is involved. We hear that all kinds of, Me Too movements and all kinds of groups are involved in this, I don't know what you want to call it, assault of Brett Kavanaugh, et cetera, et cetera. And my problem with it is there's no witnesses and there's no evidence, and these women haven't even filed their grievance in the local municipalities that relate. And so I have a concern about the rule of law and the separations of powers and all these things. But the reason I bring this up to you, of all people, is, are the unions involved here, do you think? I mean, they have a big stake in shutting down a Kavanaugh, because the Supreme Court's going to have a lot to do with what you guys are working on, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, basically all the unions have, the second his name was announced, and frankly, even before that, they said, whoever Trump picks, we're going to oppose. They tried to do that with Gorsuch, and they spent a lot of money trying to oppose him. I think, one of the secrets that unions have is that they eventually have to disclose some of their spending. But a lot of it, we won't see all the money, the millions, hundreds of millions that are going to be spent until next year at the earliest.
In other words, your point is they have a special privilege before government where they pulled the lever to where it's not as transparent as we would like it. The timing is such an issue that it makes their disclosures almost irrelevant, right?
Yeah, I mean, so it's there's this level of disclosure that's supposed to be so that the members, the rank and file, a lot of them who want nothing to do with the radical politics that are supported by union officials in Washington, D.C. The idea is they're supposed to be able to know how their money's being spent. But, of course, there's all sorts of ways that unions get around that. And then on top of it all, there's this delay. So the money is spent 1 year, and then maybe a year or two later, they finally get the information about how some of that was being used. So it's... we're going to see, there's no question that the unions are part of the institutional left now, and this is the top priority for them, and the unions are spending a lot of money on this. I mean, we know in the last election cycle, we estimate $1.7 billion spent by unions on lobbying politics, we know that they spent at least that much. We actually think they spent more. That's how much when you add up the various disclosures that they're required to do. And there is types of money that falls through these disclosures, but that you get to $1.7 billion. So that's just a lot of money, and they're going to be doing even more of that this year. And, of course, a lot of that comes from their forced dues privilege, money in the general treasury funds, which is like $1.2 billion of the $1.7 is dues money, and those are taken from people who would be fired if they don't pay money to the union.
So. Wow, those numbers are shocking, ladies and gentlemen. Is that you kind of wonder if it's election fraud or election tampering or election manipulation with that kind of stuff. Now, I don't know what words to use, because it would take a research study to find out how involved their issue is. But when they try to say that you and I can only put in a certain amount of money because they got to restrict our campaign donations, because otherwise it might, tamper with elections and stuff like that. And then you see this stuff going on and the special privilege they get at the trough. You kind of go, whoa, wait a minute. Is that, you think, election fraud or election tampering? At some point it goes there, right?
Well, I mean, there's no question. There's supposedly you know, workers are not supposed to be forced to pay for politics. So we just know that's not true. And of course, Janus proves that that's the case. I mean, Janus said, look, all this dues in the public sector is all political. And yet they've taken billions and billions of dollars from people over, you know, 40 years, forcing them to pay for this type of thing. So, you know, whether it's election fraud, it certainly is violating the rights of workers when they do this, and they take their money, threaten to have them fired if they don't pay, and then turn around and spend it on political candidates and causes. That's unfortunately what's happening. That's why, you know, I mean, our focus is, I mean, yes, we've filed FEC complaints in the past. One of the largest fines ever against that the FEC has ever levied was against the SEIU because of a complaint we brought, where they were funneling dues money to a big left wing super PAC, which then spent it all, and they did this in violation of the law. I mean, our focus is cutting it off at the source, so that, you know, once this money is truly voluntary, we don't have an issue. I mean, you know, we may disagree with how they choose to spend it, but if it's really voluntary money, that's their right.
Voluntary money and transparent money, though, because otherwise it can't be voluntary, because I can't decide if I don't know where it goes, I can't be voluntary about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So voluntary and transparent is what I would say, but I agree with your point.
Right. And so so that's, you know, that's our focus is trying to make, you know, if unions were like, you know, I don't know, the NRA or something like that, where it's, you know, people decide they want to join and they want to pay their dues. The government isn't saying this group represents you and they have all these powers over you. You know, no one's being told, you know, pay up or be fired. You know, once you
or worse, get your head bashed in, which happens a lot with the unions too. And whenever people bring it up for say, hey, there's violence here, then they say, oh, the unions kind of have that special privilege to commit violence. It's that kind of stuff that we reject.
That's exactly right. And getting rid of all the special powers that have been granted to big labor by the government would really do a lot to mitigate a lot of this, their undue influence. And that's really the key, I think.
Amen. All right, crunch time, just your opinion now. And I ask this because I think it's so critical, this Supreme Court makeup here. That's one of the big reasons people say you got to vote Republican. I don't agree with the partisan politics nature of it, but I do agree with you got to get good, honest people who will understand and obey the supreme law of the land to be your, you know, judges, if you will. And so do you think Kavanaugh will be confirmed? Do you think after his confirmation, do you think he'll be impeached? Or do you think they're going to take him down? What do you think is going to happen? Any gut check on that, number one? And then number two, how will it relate to right to work?
Yeah, well, the second part's easier. But, you know, I'm not very good at predictions. I think, you know, people seem to think that unless something else pops up in the next week, he'll get through with 51 or maybe 52 votes, something like that. We'll see. So, yeah, in terms of impeachment or packing the court, I mean, they're definitely, you know, those on the left and opponents of Janus and allies of big labor who go, look, well, the next time we have the power, you know, we're going to impeach him or pack the court if they get the White House and the Senate at the same time. And the risk to right to work is significant. Not only would Janus go away, but, you know, the Abood case, which is what Janus partially overturned, that case was the one that first said, well, look, the stuff that unions admit is political, workers at least can't be forced to fund that. And they would like to wipe that out, you know, so that every public school teacher in America could be forced to fund the NEA and the AFT union's politics as a condition of teaching.
And let's be clear, it's not necessarily the rank-and-file's politics, and that's the point we're making. It's the leadership's politics, which most rank-and-file people either disagree with and or are not aware of, and that's the whole point, right?
Yeah, and that's right. And then also, you know, they want to wipe out private sector right-to-work laws. So all the states, the 27 states that have passed right-to-work laws, they want to eliminate those, and there was a lawsuit in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that was brought by the former SEIU lawyer who's now up at Harvard now, and he had this theory that the Fifth Amendment takings clause was an issue when it came to right to work laws, and this is a pretty radical idea. It didn't really go anywhere, but they had it set up so that had Trump not won, had Justice Gorsuch not been on the court, it very well could have gotten all the way to the Supreme Court, and there would have been a real serious chance that a Supreme Court with you know, a Hillary Clinton appointee on it could have 5-4 wiped out every right to work law in the country.
And this is kind of where, you know, the purist in me says, hey, I don't even really like a Brett Kavanaugh. I'd like to get a more conservative judge than even that. You know, I'd like a Roy Moore there, or maybe a Mike Lee, or maybe that Catholic lady with the children, whatever. And so even though I'm not necessarily a Kavanaugh fan, this is an example where, ladies and gentlemen, it is not an all or nothing discussion. As imperfect as Brett Kavanaugh may be, the fact is he would do a whole lot better, even at the worst of the bunch, so to speak, that I would hope for, maybe, he would do a whole lot better than anybody Hillary would have put there, or Barack would have put there, or who might get there if the future changes. In other words, if we shut down Kavanaugh and the Democrats take over in November, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, the pureness in me says, oh, who cares? Look, we got to vote for the right guy. But the reality in me says, hey, it may be far from perfect, but we got to take what we can get and work with what we have and deal with reality as it currently sits. And you better be cognizant enough to stand on the right side of the issues, even though it seems messy and convoluted. When we get back, I want Patrick Simmons to respond to this, because it's easy just to say, oh, these guys are the bad guys. They're all part of the swamp. But realize there's decisions being made, and you better be part of the right ones. Patrick Simmons responds in seconds.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, righttowork.org. Our guest riding shotgun today, Patrick Simmons, doing a phenomenal job. So, Patrick, I'm saying that, you know what, the purist in a lot of us constitutionalists and freedom fighters or liberty-loving folks, if you will, is, hey, if they're not all the way pure, you know what, shut them down, they're part of the swamp. And I think we need to be very careful with that, because in theory that works. In other words, on paper, that makes sense. You don't want to ever vote for the lesser of two evils. At the same time, though, these decisions are real time. These decisions are not something that you can take lightly, and every move we make makes a difference. And even though Gorsuch or even though Kavanaugh or some of these people may not be the guy that I would pick, they're going to do a whole lot better than we might have gotten and we might get if we're not very careful. So the point is, there's a difference between kind of the purity of our viewpoints versus reality on the ground. Is there a validity to this point?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I mean, you know, when you were mentioning that before, I thought of Janus, and I thought of the four-member dissent in that case, and what Elena Kagan wrote about it. And she, you know, this long screed about how this was, you know, she disagreed with this and that type of thing. And at one point she said that the ruling weaponized the First Amendment against the democratic wishes of various states. And, you know, setting aside the fact that very few states have actually enacted, you know, really laws that make it clear that unions can do all the things they do. But that's exactly what the First Amendment is supposed to do. It's supposed to protect individual rights against what government wants to do to people. I mean, that's the definition.
And government's extensions, these special interest groups, right?
The Constitution is to protect the individual rights when you know, entrenched interests try to violate them and use the democratic process, supposedly, in state legislatures, you know, in part by spending a lot of money on politics and lobbying, to abridge those rights. And so I think it is important to remember, you know, whether someone interprets the Constitution exactly how we want them to or not, is a far cry from someone whose view is that the First Amendment should be subjugated to the whims of elected officials, which is the Justice Kagan and unfortunately four members of the Supreme Court's view that the First Amendment doesn't apply to public employees because these states decided that giving unions the financial support of being able to have them all forced to pay is more important than their free speech. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, that's if you're looking at that as the alternative view versus, you know, how perfectly people interpret the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, you gotta think about the alternative. And I, you know, and of course, Justice Kagan is probably what you get the next time,
worse,
a Democrat, or worse. I mean, that's the starting point for. The kind of picks that you're going to get or would have gotten from Hillary Clinton and that type of thing.
And Barack and crew. All right. So what else what should we know as the elections are coming up in November, as this big battle's going on, as Right to Work continues to steadily do its phenomenal work? Rand Paul and others have been sending me emails about the efforts and how we can be involved and help. And righttowork.org is the place to go. And you know what? Put your money and your effort and your talents and support in any way you possibly can. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a critical issue. But what else ought we know?
Well, I think a few things. One thing is to just be on the lookout for union electioneering, and if especially for people who may be members or maybe under a union contract. And you know, we get a lot of people coming in this time of year. They'll call in for free legal aid, and they'll say, "Hey, I think you know, I'm being forced to pay money to a PAC." I mean, we've had people who've been non-members of unions, and they go, "Hey, I noticed this line on my paycheck, and it says." You know, union political education committee. What does that mean? And then it turns out they've been forced to fund a PAC illegally. And so, you know, we've had to move and file emergency injunctions and all sorts of, you know, federal election complaints and that type of thing. So that's one of the things people can do right now. And then the other is, you know, the National Right to Work Committee, of course, does a federal candidate survey program. And so we basically look at all the people who are running for office. They do it for the state level, too, but particularly for Congress and the Senate. And, you know, are they a supporter of the National Right to Work Act? Will they pledge to vote for giving workers freedom of choice when it comes to union financial support? Or do they side with big labor and oppose that and say that workers should be fired for not paying money to a union? And, you know, we tell people where they stand. We know that, you know, people who are running for office, you know what, the best time to lobby them is right before their election, because that's when they have to listen to the voters and to the
public. They feel the heat and see the light, don't they?
Yeah, and so that's, you know, that's one of the things that the committee is focused on right now. And if you go to the National Right to Work Committee website, nrtwc.org, you can sign a petition for the National Right to Work Act. That'll tell your members of Congress. That'll also have you on the email list so that you'll get to find out where your candidates stand. So that's another thing that people can do as we go into the last 30 days here until the election.
All right. What else is hot? I know that Janice was a critical key, but we got to now keep making sure that that's enforced. It's one thing to get the court to agree with us on something. It's another thing to get it to make sure that it sticks, if you will, right?
No, yeah, that's exactly right. And I was just looking at our ever-increasing list of cases that are Janice enforcement type cases. And we've got over a dozen cases across the country and more coming online all the time. And some of them are lawsuits trying to get dues back. We've got lawsuits for class actions, trying to get all the dues that was taken from non-members in violation of their First Amendment rights and get that money back, as much of it as we can get. We've got other cases where people are trying to exercise their Janus rights and they're being blocked. Now, the Supreme Court in Janus made it very clear that you cannot take any money from anyone, a public employee, without their consent. And yet we have people who are members, you know, as theoretically, at least voluntary members at the time Janus came down. They said, I heard about this Janus decision. I want to exercise my First Amendment rights. And they're being blocked by state law and also by union policy and told, well, you can do that, but you got to wait until the contract expires in 2021. That's literally the position that unions are taking in Pennsylvania. And in California, the guy goes and tells, we have a court worker who works for one of the state courts out there, and he was said that he went to his employer, the HR department. They said, well, you got to go to the union. They're the ones who have to let you out because of the state law. And so we're challenging that out there. And we're seeing to see more and more of this as people learn their rights and then they try to exercise it. And then inevitably, we're seeing unions abated or helped abetted by the state and state law try to stop people from exercising their First Amendment rights. And that's why we've got all these lawsuits and why I think there's going to be a lot more to come. Because
Patrick, it's about the rule of law, though. We peacefully use the law. And now we expect it to be enforced. And this is a very simple situation here that we're talking about. But it shows our peaceful nature, but our determined attitude about what needs to be done to move the needle towards liberty, sir.
That's right. And you know, we talk about it every time I come on. And, you know, our whole position is voluntary. No one should be using force to require someone to fund a cause they disbelieve with, they don't believe in. And, you know, as long as, you know, voluntary, that's okay. Non-coercion, that's okay. But when you start using the government to coerce people, that's a problem. And that's really all we're asking for. And that's what Right to Work's all about. That's what the Janus case is all about. And that's why we've got 200 cases going on right now in the courts all across the country trying to enforce those principles.
And it's shocking in America that we even have this battle or this position to take, right? I mean, it's just, are you kidding me kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, we get some people, and some of them are joking because they know better, and others maybe are serious who said, well, okay, you guys won Janus. Doesn't that eliminate half of all the work you do? You don't have to do anything more in the public sector.
Boy, do we wish that were true.
Yeah,
huh?
That would be nice. That's how it's supposed to work. You know, the First Amendment and the court rules that this is how the First Amendment's supposed to work and everyone's supposed to follow it. But, of course, we know from past Supreme Court victories that's not the way it happened.
And if it was true, you guys at least have a manageable caseload, huh?
Yeah, well, it keeps our attorneys plenty busy, that's for sure.
Godspeed, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right, thank you, Sam.
Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org, doing a phenomenal job as he joins us monthly on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use talk radio station.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
All right, back with you live. Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting talk, always at your fingertips, LibertyRoundTable.com. Hey, Kurt, so I don't know if you call this good news in a bad news context or what, sir.
Well, yeah, Sam. You know, the headline from the Chicago Sun-Times, no one shot in Chicago in 22-hour span. I mean, that's like world record-breaking stuff, I guess. And, of course, Chicago, ladies and gentlemen, is the place where they have what's called a gun-free zone, you know, because, of course, that's the way you make sure people are safe. But they say two people were wounded in shootings within 24 hours as colder temperatures moved through Chicago. In a 22-hour span between 12:30 a.m. and 11 p.m., no one was wounded by gunfire. So the last shooting wounded a 39-year-old man who was walking underneath the Green Line tracks near the CTA's Laramie L stop, they say. Anyway, so they're breaking some records there in Chicago, Sam. I mean, probably a lot of people will be moving there real soon because of the lovely family atmosphere and, you know, that kind of thing now that they've got going on there, huh?
Well, and this is why I kind of say that as, you know, good news in a bad news context. So I'm grateful if we have less death, Kurt, for any time frame we can get. In other words, hey, 22 hours or less death is better than no hours or less death. So I think that's wonderful news. On the other hand, I just think the whole setting that it's in is that people are dying left and right in Chicago all the time, and I'm grateful for the reprieve. But the bad news is that people are dying all the time. And so it's like good news in a bad news context, right?
That's the way I read it, Sam. But it's also interesting to point out, at least in my opinion, that, you know, this so-called place where, because they've got, you know, no guns are allowed, they have all this shooting going on. Maybe they should put bigger signs up, Sam, that say no guns are allowed.
Gun-free zones and stuff.
No hurting people, you know, because that way, you know, everything will be better in Chicago.
Well, maybe
what would you do to make things better in Chicago, Sam?
Well, I would talk about the reality that we need dads at home. And we need husbands and wives that have fidelity to one another and that are loyal to one another and they take care of their children. You know, what happens is when you have the family breakdown, Kurt, people search for gangs and they search for kind of a belonging elsewhere. And so the first thing to do is restore the family and to restore that family under God. And so you got to have God and family back and give people a healthy respect and appreciation for the freedoms they have in this country. And, you know, when you start, you know, talking about God, family, and country, you're talking about the solutions here. And I bring that up because, look, you're never going to have a society stronger than its families. And you're never going to have, you know, boys and girls, if you will, not wanting to belong somewhere. It's nature. It's natural to want to belong somewhere, Kurt. And the plan that God has for that is the family. And when you destroy that, or when the family falls apart, and when there's drugs and crime and sex abuse and violence and missing parents, and you know what? It's disaster. And so the answer is, and this applies to white and black and everybody, not just, you know, this is not a racial discussion. Okay, I know you guys want to make it one, but stop already. It's a family discussion. And I'm telling you right now that any family that has intact mother and a father is going to be better off. Is it the perfect answer? No. Kids can still go awry when there's a mom and a dad. And kids can do well if there's just a mom. Okay, I'm not telling you that there's not exceptions to the rule. But when you bring mom and dad together, and you give children a sense of belonging, and you point people to the Ten Commandments, and give people God, family, and country guidance, pretty soon things get better. And I'm just telling you, there's no way to avoid that reality. And I know people say, Sam, we're sick of hearing you talk about that. And then my response is, then you're sick of hearing about how we can fix the country, aren't you? Because you're not going to fix the country without those things. And so I'm grateful no one was shot in Chicago in a 22-hour span. I think that's wonderful. I hope we can go 24 hours and then 48 hours and 96 hours. But if we're going to have that happen, Kurt, you're going to get rid of gun-free zones. You're going to let the good guys have guns to stop the shooting. You're going to have families intact. You're going to have people have a sense of belonging. You're going to talk about the Ten Commandments and God's law, thou shalt not kill. And if you do those things, you might have a chance to extend this time frame. Otherwise, I'm grateful for the anomaly, but I don't expect it to continue, because without God's guidance, without the author of liberty's guidance, without the family guidance that, in other words, his fundamental unit of society designed to help folks be stable, without those stabilizing influences, it's a fleeting hope. But if we obey the rules, the guidelines of where liberty comes from, we actually have a real chance to move in the needle and making the change, Kurt, and that's my prayer. All right, Supreme Court for the news. They're really
comment real quick on this. You know, Sam, and you've said, I think, everything I wanted to say about it, except I wanted to ask you a simple question. You've lived in a place they call American Fork, Utah, for, do you know how many years?
15 years.
Okay, 15 years. Do you remember when the last time you remember there was somebody shot?
I know it happens, but it's so rare I really can't keep track of it. I'm not saying that it hasn't happened once or, you know, twice, maybe one person a year or a couple of times in the 15 years, but it's not very often, that's for sure. And then you got to ask the next logical question, why is that and what's the difference? But you're not allowed to ask good that, point. Sir. Yeah, it just shows you're point. A white bigot.
Yeah.
You probably want to prey on women, don't you? See, I mean, it's just that kind of narrative. In fact, our buddy Sean Bergen, well-known TV anchor in New York, literally on air, said, you know, we need fathers back in some of these homes. They literally fired him as a white supremacist.
Yep.
Because he's white, and he dared to say that about a black community. And I don't care if it's white or black. I think we need fathers in everybody's homes, mothers in everybody's homes.
Good point.
Yeah. And it's true in Mexico, and it's true in America, and it's true in Canada, and it's true in Spain, and it's true everywhere.
Yeah, it's only true as far as we know just on planet Earth. We don't know about other planets.
Well, if they found a way to go to the moon, it would be true there, too. But I get your point.
Good point.
Yeah. So it's just strange. But again, we don't mean any racial agenda here. Okay? Stop that already. All I'm telling you is the more we focus on God, family, and country, the better off we'll be. And the more we obey the rule of law, the better off we'll be. And the more we realize we're God's children, the more we have a civilized discourse, the better off we are. That's all I'm saying.
And it's all part of making America great and the world great again.
Right? Yes, it is. That's right. And every country, sure. And the problem is my comments just aren't incendiary enough to garner headlines for us, Kurt. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, you need to say some stuff like that, lady in where was it? Georgetown, yeah.
Well,
that's right.
I'm not
going
to do it.
Then you'll get some.
I don't care. Maybe I just won't get the
real coverage.
Maybe I'll just be an average talk show host for the rest of my life.
Wow. All
right. Anyway, the Supreme Court rules against Roy Moore. What do they say, the second time in 6 weeks, Curtin?
Well, in this case, you know, the headline reads Supreme Court, but yet, you know, what you really find, you think it's the Supreme Court, but what you're talking about is the Alabama Supreme Court. And, they say it's the second time in 6 weeks, and they rejected a request by Roy Moore to move a lawsuit filed against him in Montgomery County to his home county of Etowah County. I guess that's how you say it, Etowah.
Yeah, and I want to stop you there for a second, Kurt, and say, you know, this has to do with the jury of one's peers, Kurt. Who would be his peers? Some people in the county that don't even know him, has nothing to do with him, doesn't know who he is, doesn't understand his character, or maybe in a venue that he might actually have people that can testify of his character and that'll gauge things on who he's been for the last 40 years and such like that, you know? What's a jury of your peers?
Good point, Sam.
I think it's a fair reality check, isn't it? They never intended for some people that don't know you that were manipulated by the mainstream press to be the jury, right? That was never intended.
And Judge Roy Moore, by the way, described the Supreme Court's ruling, not the U.S. Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court of Alabama.
The AL ruling, as opposed to U.S.
Yeah, back in, I guess they did this back in August as well. He described it as ridiculous. Says Moore has asked the judge to dismiss the lawsuit because it was not filed in the proper venue, arguing that it rightfully should have been filed in Etowah County, where Korfman said the encounter with Moore occurred.
Yeah, but this goes right. Let me stop you, though. This goes right to the point we're making about Kavanaugh, Kurt, right now. The reason they want it in this other place is it's probably a bigger city or something like that, or a county where they don't know Roy, and it'll be nothing but driven by the political process, manipulated by politicians speaking out and Twitter and mainstream press, and it'll be manipulated by all these things. That's what they want, as opposed
Good
to a
point.
True, honest vetting of reality in a jury of one's peers. So that's critical, in my opinion, for a speedy, by the way, they've been sitting on this thing for, what, a year now or whatever? A speedy trial that has due process at its center.
And it says Moore's attorneys also said that the case should be moved to his home county for the convenience of the parties involved, saying that both the plaintiff and the defendant reside in Etowah County. I mean, imagine that kind of, thinking.
Amen to that. Our prayers are with Roy and crew. Our prayers are with Kavanaugh. Our prayers are with you too, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, Pat Buchanan's a funny dude. We'll tell you about it in seconds. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live. Listen to the wind
blow. Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam. He's Kurt. And you're you. Happy to have you along. Patrick J. Buchanan. He's Patrick, by the way. And the guy's funny. He writes an interesting column entitled, Kurt?
Yeah, he says, are Republicans born wimps?
The answer is, as Kurt wisely says, it depends on the Republican, Kurt.
Good point.
What is a Republican? Quotes, right?
Yeah, he quotes Jerry Falwell,
Jr. By the way, is Patrick Buchanan a Republican, Kurt?
I know he ran on the Republican Party.
And then he came to his senses and went third party and stuff.
He ran as a Reform Party candidate, so I don't know how you would answer that. But he says he's quoting Jerry Falwell, Jr., who, by the way, is the son and namesake of the founder of the what's called the Moral Majority. And this is what he tweeted, I guess. He says, conservatives and Christians need to stop electing nice guys. The U.S. needs street fighters like Donald Trump at every level of government because the liberal fascist Dems are playing for keeps. Then he goes through and kind of talks about what has recently happened with this 11, Republican senators on the Judiciary Committee forfeiting their right to cross-examine this Miss Ford lady and giving it to this other lady, and then and then talking about how the Democrats treated Ford as the reincarnation of Joan of Arc, but he says though not a single witness has corroborated her story, then telling about what Jeff Flake did, then Lindsey Graham. He says, Falwell's point, Democrats fight savagely and for keeps while Republicans, street fighter Trump accepted, are wimps, often bewailing any loss of camaraderie with their colleagues across the aisle. As my late friend, he says, Sam Francis said in the title of his book, many Republicans are perfectly content with being beautiful losers. Yet the stakes here are immense. Consider how the Supreme Court has remade the America we grew up in. He says, since World War II, the court has de-Christianized all public schools and the public life of a land Woodrow Wilson and Harry Truman called a Christian nation. It has established secularism as our state religion. He goes on, Patrick Buchanan says, despite civil rights laws declaring race discrimination illegal, the court has given its blessing to affirmative action, deliberate discrimination in favor of peoples of color against white men in the name of diversity and equality. The court has declared that what were once crimes, abortion and homosexuality, are now constitutional rights all Americans must respect. These changes were not legislated democratically, but imposed dictatorially by the High Court. While a Senate confirmation of Kavanaugh would not reverse these mandated changes, it might halt any further imposition of this radical social revolution by unelected judges.
By the way, that's a wise point, Kurt, and kind of my point with Patrick Simmons earlier, that you know what? These guys may not be perfect, and they might not stand up offensively as much as we would like, but they're sure going to hold a better defensive line than some of the alternatives. I'll tell you that right now. And we need to be cognizant of that, because this is no game. This is not just on paper. This is real. And decisions do matter. Anyway, Patrick J. Buchanan, spot on. Are Republicans just born wimps? You know, I don't know if these people are just wimpy, Kurt, or if there's political dirt on them where they're afraid that, hey, their sexual shenanigans will come out. I mean, I don't know what's driving these folks, but I am really shocked that they don't literally say there are no witnesses, there is no evidence, and you didn't file in the proper jurisdiction for a redress of grievance. It's that simple of a problem. Furthermore, you don't understand the separation of powers. We're not even the branch of government to deal with your issue. But nevertheless, they continue to, play games there. All right, anything else on this Patrick J. Buchanan piece? He writes great,
I think
though.
We're
He's a
covered
great writer.
It. Yeah, it's a good job. Yeah.
All right, George Soros group set up confrontation at the elevator. Art Moore, WND.com, with a piece. So it turns out George Soros is backing these women, tear-filled women, that headed to the elevator and confronted Jeff Flake and turned him into a wimp, if you call Patrick Buchanan, or a flake, as I would say it, where he literally kind of caved in front of these women. He's sitting there with his head down. And I mean, instead of looking them in the eye just like I did and said, hey, ma'am, are there witnesses? Yes or no? Do you have evidence? If so, I want to see what it is. If not, then the answer is no. Have you filed your redress of grievance or your crime, reported your crime to the local jurisdictional, area of responsibility here? Have you done those things? And if you haven't, no offense, but I don't want to hear from you. Furthermore, do you understand, I don't know if you've taken a civics class, do you understand the separation of powers? We are a congressional body. We're legislative in nature, and it's not our responsibility legislatively. We make law. We don't look into the violation of law. That's a different branch of government at a different jurisdictional level, ma'am. Okay, why didn't Jeff Flake stand up and say that stuff, Kurt? But nevertheless, great Soros point. Group behind it all, big money, big socialist agenda, right?
Well, that's what the headline from WorldNet Daily says. You know, they're digging into it. Art Moore there says the two women who on Friday, as CNN broadcast live, ladies and gentlemen, you just don't get a network to be broadcasting live, by elevators of the Senate building if they don't know kind of something's up, Sam, in my opinion. And it says these two ladies that scolded Senator Jeff Flake for announcing earlier that morning his decision to vote to report Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination to the full Senate. They work for an organization funded by left-wing activist billionaire George Soros.
And socialist
shocking
by nature. But here's the point, Kurt. What if they responded, what if Jeff Flake responded as I just did? Do you think CNN would have cut it off midstream or not covered it?
Well, all he did was basically,
he put his head down and kowtowed to them and rolled over.
That's right.
But what if he would have said what I did about jurisdiction and about due process and the rule of law and witnesses and evidence and things like that and allegations, and even doubled down and said, if you women continue to make allegations, you're likely to have libel and slander on your hands, and you're likely to get sued back for baseless allegations against somebody, character assassination and things. You better really think about what you're saying and doing here, people, but you're going about it all wrong. What if he would have stood up boldly and said those things, Kurt? You think they'd be airing it like they are?
I agree. This is what the, according to, you know, the play-by-play here, this is what happened. I guess Flake said thank you after one of the women claimed she had been sexually assaulted and nobody believed me. Then she said, I didn't tell anyone, and you're telling all women that they don't matter. She
lies.
Yeah. After racing past reporters and security to catch Flake before the elevator door shut.
Wait a minute. How do these women just pass security, Kurt?
I know.
That, racing past security with CNN in tow? Wow.
I mean, it's a setup, Sam. It's basically an ambush. It says, that's what you're telling all of these women. That's what you're telling me right now. Look at me when I'm talking to you. You're telling me that my assault doesn't matter. Don't look away from me. Look at me. I guess the two women, they say who they are, says executive director of the Center for Popular Democracy.
By the way, we don't have a democracy, folks. We have a republic.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, bottom line is it was a massive setup, and we're here to tell it to you and prove it to you. How do they let these women just run past security towards the senator?
Great point.
Will they let me go past security to the senator? Will they let me pass security to help defend the senator and speak out on his behalf since the cat's got his tongue? Cat ain't got my tongue, great I'll tell point. You that right now. Well, James Dobson doubles down and says, hey, Kavanaugh fight isn't even political. Bob Unruh writes this piece, Kurt.
Yep, that's right. He says, Judge Brett Kavanaugh testified, you know, there and says, just politics as usual, right? No, he says the Democrat-Republican war over the Supreme Court. He says, James Dobson says, no. He's advised five presidents and millions of parents. He says it's a battle for the soul of America. So I think he's on target, don't you, Sam?
Well, I've always made the point that there's no such thing as politics. Everything is really a moral discussion, yeah. Right? In other words, there's nothing political. The only reason they use politics is because then it makes everybody believe that there's this big divide or it's something you don't talk about or it's always got to be hostile warfare. And I just simply say to you, look, every one of these discussions we've had today, from every story we've talked about, from top to bottom for 2 hours, we're talking about the same issues. We're talking about God, family, and country and how news of the day relates. All right, we're talking about trade, making America great, obeying the laws of America. We're talking about force, where women are forced onto the California board for corporations. We're talking about force when it comes to unions. We're talking about this Democratic Party and Republican Party, you know, hey, left and right wing to the same bird of prey, as Patrick Buchanan best said it. We're talking about, you know, voters being manipulated by the mainstream press. We're talking about this Georgetown professor that's totally unhinged. Okay, we're talking about this Swetnick lady who's backing off of her claims now that she knows she might get sued for libel and defamation and everything else, and knowing full well that her comments, she can't even say that Kavanaugh was involved in assaulting her. Okay, and she named four people that supposedly could testify to the parties and what happened, and they all say, not me, I don't know what she's talking about. So no witnesses. We're talking about the economy, how to make America great. We're talking about we want to make all nations great. Right? And we're talking about how the mainstream press is backing Soros Group to create confrontation and violence. And then now we're telling you that none of this stuff, James Dobson agrees with us, none of this stuff is political. It's all moral discussions. And when you put it in the perspective of God, family, country, the rule of law, and the Ten Commandments, it is true. This isn't just a political battle to argue and fight about. This is about the war that was started in heaven on earth, Kurt. Are we going to use our agency to follow God? Are we going to believe in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ? Are we going to turn against and follow Satan's plan? I mean, it's that simple of a discussion. Every issue is moral. But if they tell you not politics and not religion, then you don't get to talk about anything, right? But if you put it in a moral compass reality check and say, hey, these are all moral issues, I think James Dobson is right, Kurt. Final word's yours, sir.
I couldn't agree more, Sam. And hats off to him. And God bless America. God bless the entire world and every single one of its people.
And let's remember that we shouldn't divide on every fault line. We should realize we're all God's children. We ought to follow the Prince of Peace and act like it. That's what we're saying on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is Solutions Broadcasting. We ought to change the radio network from Liberty News Radio to Solutions Broadcasting. Anyway, we are doing our very best to not only bring up the problems, but to put it into a constitutional context, a rule of law context, to reject violence, stand for peace, and to make a difference in the world, ladies and gentlemen. We're thankful for your help. LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.